You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome along to William Hill's Boxing Podcast. We've got some really interesting fights this weekend, some short prices, but they don't all look like they could go one way. And we've got Ultimate Boxer 2. Boxer spelt with two X's, Buncey. That never sits well with me, but I'm going to let it fly just for the marketing. Steve Buncey is with us to look at all the boxing this weekend. Before we get into the action, Buncey, I noticed on Twitter that you were part of an evening with marvellous Marvin Hagler last night. Wow. That's boxing royalty, Buncey.
Look, you know, it is, because what Hagler's done over the last 31 years since he walked away from the sport after the Sugar Ray Leonard fight is he's been a very private person. So, sure, he's been in the UK before and he's done speaking engagements, but not for an awful long time. And he's been a bit hit and miss. So sometimes you can go and see him, he does 15 minutes, you don't get a lot of Marvin. Last night he did 50 minutes. With Richie Woodall, former WBC middleweight champion, asking the questions.
Nice.
And he was brilliant, Marvin, and he loved every second of it. 600 people packed into Scott Murray's Bar Sport in Cannock. Scott Murray adding Hagler to his list of the great fighters he's had there. Listen to this for a list of guests at his place. Tommy Hearns, Roberto Duran, Sugar Ray Leonard, Mike Tyson, and he was one of those guys that did put on, yes, you guessed it, Floyd Mayweather. Wow. In addition to George Groves, Joshua, Trotch. It's unbelievable what he does. He was brilliant last night, Hagler. Absolutely brilliant. Just everything you think I'm going to, everything I hear now, I'm going to have heard before. Well, some of it was like that, but he even gave that a twist.
Yeah. Brilliant. That's superb. I'm lucky enough to have done a dinner with Roberto Duran and Sugar Ray Leonard. And Sugar Ray Leonard's, you know, pretty good anyway, isn't he? He's, you know, Roberto Duran just relies on his son to tell all the stories. And I'm not even sure if his son's telling you what's coming out of Roberto Duran's mouth. But his son's very charismatic, isn't he? His son's an actor, I think. He's very charismatic, isn't he?
And he's been doing it for 20 years since he was a boy, literally. Yeah. And that's really interesting you should say that, because I told a story last night about when Duran was there and how him and his son were talking and they were sort of chuckling. And I said, I've got to be honest with you, I don't think anything Duran said made any sense. And I think his son just ran off the usual stuff.
Yeah.
So I think when Duran was speaking in Spanish, he was saying things like, you know what? This is not a bad place. I think I'm going to have a couple of tequilas at the bar. Then the son would translate it as, and then I looked at the horse. And I knew I could knock the horse out with one punch. I'm convinced. Everything is too perfect. But hey-ho, it makes no difference.
Brilliant. One of my the highlights of my life, Buncey, came at the Sugar Ray Leonard event where I, as well as having the honour of emceeing the event, I also put together the intro video for it. And as it played out, I was stood next to Sugar Ray Leonard. And he was in the background watching it. And he turned to me and didn't know. And he said, this is great. I wonder who put it together. And I just...
No way.
I know. I swear to you. And
I
didn't say anything. I just kind of looked at him. I thought, I'm not going to say it. Because it's just... I'm just having that moment. I'm just having that moment. Fantastic. Yeah. Great to see these, you know, these guys. And when they do deliver, Buncey, it's... it's this kind of stories that you don't think you'll ever hear. You know, when you've read all the books and you've watched the fights over and over again, but to hear it from their mouths loads of people listen to this probably go to these kind of events, but if you don't go to these events very often and you see one near you and it's someone who you've always admired, pay the money. It's like, it's what, you know, whatever, you know, just pay the money and go and see these guys, because you get some fantastic nights at these events.
You're doing it. In fact, Tommy Hearns is touring now. I think Tommy Hearns last night was playing somewhere in Hinckley in Leicester last night.
Really? Yeah.
The same night that only 40 miles away, how mad is that, Hagler was talking about Hearns. 40 miles away in Leicestershire, Hearns was probably talking about Hagler. Go figure. That has to be odd.
Who's the best boxing at after dinner type thing that you've seen, Buncey?
Leonard's good because he's so slick, isn't he? Yeah. But if you want a bit of honesty, Ken Buchanan.
Right.
Okay. He's only got about 30 minutes in him before he gets tired because he's getting on a bit, Ken. But he goes through winning the title in 130 degrees of heat. He goes through being the main event at a sold-out old Madison Square Garden, 23,000. He tells the story about letting Muhammad Ali share his changing room and how he put some tape down the middle of the room for his side and Muhammad's side. He talks about then the fight with, obviously, Roberto Duran in front of 23,000 people. And then he talks about the end of his career, going on the unlicensed circuit. And you're sitting there in the presence of boxing royalty, and he speaks really low. And it's one of those rare things that when Ken Buchanan starts talking, you can hear the proverbial pin drop. So Ken Buchanan, in some ways, not the flashiest, not the showiest, but he tells you 20 stories, and you just go, oh, gosh. You know, remember Ken Buchanan once, when he was at Madison Square Garden, 23,000 people in the arena, with a rematch against Ismael Laguna. His eye swells up in about round three or four. The referee comes over and says, look, I'm not going to be able to let you continue. So in his corner, Eddie Thomas takes out a razor and 4 years before the Rocky movie, slits the eye and drains the blood. He goes on to win 15 rounds. He tells that story, and trust me, people don't even want to breathe, let alone talk. They just want to listen.
Have we got time for the... one of my favourite stories about... your Mike Tyson story when the pigeons were the main source of it.
Well, when I wasn't allowed to talk about boxing. So I said, what am I allowed to talk about? And they said, you're allowed to talk about his ambitions in life now, Wayne Rooney and pigeons. And I said, you're joking. And this guy said, no, man, if you don't want to do it, you know where the door is. So I had to ask him about Birmingham tumblers and Birmingham rollers. But Lee, I swear to you, man, that was when the guy threw a punch at me at Old Trafford for not asking the right questions. Only he didn't say it that politely. He threw a punch at me and spat at me. Oh, you couldn't invent it, could you?
No, you couldn't.
And that was where every single morning, having done 4 hours on stage with Mike, sitting, eating and interviewing him, every single morning I had to reintroduce myself. I say, hi, Mike, my name's Steve Buzz. I say, hi, Steve, nice to meet you. Oh, you can't invent this stuff.
Superb. Right, let's have a look at the Ultimate Boxer this weekend, Buncey. This is we love a boxing tournament, and this one's this one looks like it could be exciting this weekend. It's interesting because the up for the, you know, there's a 50k prize pot, which is obviously well worth winning. It's live on Sport Bible via Facebook and on Channel 5 Spike from 10 p.m. So yeah, you can look at it, you can watch it on social media, you can watch it on your telly as
TV,
well.
TV.
I'll run through the odds, Buncey, because it's pretty tight at the top. You've got Shekhan Pitters at 15-8, Joel McIntyre 2-1, Dex Spellman, who you featured on the BBC podcast this week, 7-2, Jordan Joseph is 9-1, 11-1 Sam Smith, 14-1 for Sam Horsfall, it's 16-1 Daryl Church, and 22-1 for Georgie Bacon. Light heavyweights, could be some explosions here, couldn't there?
Yeah, I mean, and they're encouraged. I mean, this is, you know, obviously it's the old prize fighter format, and they're encouraged to entertain. I mean, it's quite sort of brutal. They're told, listen, this is about getting out there. You've got a quarter final, a semi final, and a final. You've got three rounds of each. Don't mess up. Get out there and entertain. And the first one, which took place a good few months ago, featured, if I'm not mistaken, all of the eight boxers are unbeaten. It's not the case on this occasion, and that was quite good because unbeaten fighters don't really know how to lose. So two unbeaten fighters, a guy will say with seven fights and a guy with four fights unbeaten, they turn it on, and they did that night. And I think that what the people get at the O2 Indigo tonight, and if they watch in any of the various formats, is that I think you're guaranteed a couple of hours of bang-ups. Let's not mince our words. And I always found Prize Fighter hard to work out. I think I maybe picked two winners in Prize Fighter in about 30 editions, Lee, to be honest with you. They're hard, you know, because cuts come into play. Herbie Hyde, for instance, former world heavyweight champion, he lost in the first series in Prize Fighter because his eye swelled up and he had to pull out of the semi-final. So it's a hard thing. I think I backed Audley to win it twice, and I think I got Gavin Reese, former world champion, to win it on the occasion he did. Other than that, I think I've got every single one of them wrong.
I think you might have got... I think did Rocky Fielding win one?
Yeah, no, yeah, it's really interesting.
I think you got Rocky Fielding as well.
I
backed that. I remember back then.
And I tell you why I got that. That was about 2011. And I tell you, or 2012 maybe. No, 2011. I tell you why I backed Rocky Fielding. Is I knew he was on home turf, and I knew he changed his name. So I knew he had proper amateur pedigree, ABA champion, ABA titles, fight title fights, and also fighting for England, and I think even Britain. So yeah, I did back him. Listen, I got four or five of them right, but sometimes on the wilder ones, you know, you punt on one guy and he'd get stopped in the first round by a goal, then get stopped in the second round. You go, you're so far off the pace here, you might as well not have even shown up for the races. Spillman's got, you know, obviously Deck's got this backstory, being involved in a death fight, and Scott Westgarth, the man that was involved in that fight, his family are going to be there, so there's a little bit of emotion running. You don't win boxing matches with a charity vote, let's put it that way. So there's no guarantee. But listen, there's three or four of them, in my opinion, could pull it off. I'm not even sure of the seedings yet and the draw. That's quite important.
Yeah.
Especially if two good guys are banged in together first off.
This is how it looks, just to run through so people are aware. Quarterfinal one, as they call it, is McIntyre versus Church. Two is Horsfall versus Spellman. You've got Pitters, who's the favourite, against Sam Smith in quarterfinal three. And then Jordan Joseph versus Georgie Bacon, who's a late replacement for John McCullum in quarterfinal four. Pitters is the favourite, he's 7-0, so that makes sense. Dex Spellman only with the one loss in his record, 12-1. Have a look at the records and enjoy it. Let's have a look at the boxing this weekend at the SSE in Glasgow, Buncey. Three fights we're going to look at, starting with Zach Parker versus Daryl Williams for the British super middleweight title. Which, I mean, this is a belt that's been around some pretty famous waists, Buncey. Zach Parker, 16-0, 24-year-old, who fights out of Derbyshire, fighting Daryl Williams, who's 17-0. Daryl Ferocious Williams is fighting out of London. Records look fairly similar in terms of the numbers, but the betting doesn't, Buncey. 1-7, Zach Parker. 4-1, Daryl Williams, and 25-1, the draw. I must admit, I was a little surprised to see Zach Parker that short.
Yeah, well, I was too, because if you look at it, I know Zach had a quick win over Luke Blackledge, a sort of perennial contender, about two fights ago. But Daryl Williams, 2 and 3 fights ago, had those two torrid 10-rounders with Jermaine Smart.
Yeah.
Now, okay, he won both of them, but they were both tight, if I'm not mistaken. Really tight, really hard. I mean, I was being slightly over there. Really hard 20 rounds there. And I don't think Parker's had anything like that. And he's a little bit younger, but not a million miles younger. He's 24 against 28. I thought you were going to tell me this was not necessarily a pick-up. I fancied people might fancy Parker because he's a bit fresher. But I'm surprised at those long odds. I'd be amazed if Parker, it'd be a good win for Parker if he could stop Williams. He's not necessarily a big banger, Parker. I know he stopped Blackledge, but that was early. And it's not, you know, it's, well, I think it's 11 stoppages out of 16. So it's respectable enough without being ferocious. I thought it was a tighter fight. I thought it would go down to the judges. I thought there might be some debate over it. I did think Parker was going to nick it. I did. I've got a circle around Parker here for you, but I'm surprised it's that tight.
And when that's the case, you tend to want to go for the outsider in these things, because it just instinctively feels like too big a price, doesn't it?
I agree.
Yeah, interesting fight, that one. Let's have a look at Josh Taylor versus Ryan Martin. Got to give a mention to Craig Murray, who's a regular listener to the podcast, Buncey, and he's tweeted us a few times about, he's a massive Josh Taylor fan. He's saying he can't wait for the Taylor Martin fight. He says he admits to being biased in favour of Taylor. He thinks he's the real deal. So he'll be keen to hear your thoughts on Taylor. His record reads 13-0, 11 stoppages. The Scottish lads, 27, the Tartan Tornado, which is a fantastic nickname. Fighting for the WBC Silver Super Lightweight title against Ryan Martin, whose record reads 22-0 from Cleveland, Ohio. Interesting one, this, Buncey. He fought Bradis Prescott last time out, didn't he, Ryan Martin, actually?
He won on points.
8-rounder it was, and he won on points. So, obviously, he's never... I think he's fought outside of the States once, but that was only, in South America, maybe in Panama or somewhere around there. But it'll be a bit different for him, this one. Josh Taylor's a big favourite here, Buncey. 1-12. Ryan Martin's 13-2. The draw, 25-1. Does Taylor add another KO to his list?
I don't know if he has another KO to his list, but I think he has another win to his list. He is a quality fighter. He's a couple of years now beating good men. A couple of years ago, he beat Dave Ryan. for the Commonwealth title. Then he had that brilliant win against O'Hara Davis last summer, July 2017. And then, of course, he beat Postel, Victor Postel, earlier this year, former world champion. In fact, he's also on the undercard, really good fighter. And he beat him on points. Postel had only lost previously to good fighters. You know, he is a good fighter. And that was a real test for Josh, and he really had to fight. He's a baby, relatively speaking, in boxing terms, 13 fights, 27 years of age. You have to fancy Taylor, because I don't think Ryan Martin is the type of American like Terence Crawford, who'd also incidentally beaten Brennis Prescott when he accepted a fight against Ricky Burns a few years ago. And we thought, you know, we'd heard Crawford was decent, just like we've heard Martin's decent. We've seen the pair of them in a couple of fights. And in fact, we had Crawford on Box Nation beating Prescott. And I think we had Martin on Box Nation beating Prescott. So I knew both the fighters. And I thought coming over that Crawford looked like a really good fighter. I think Martin looks like a really good fighter. But I don't think Martin will do like Crawford did against Burns and completely dominate and shock us and break Scottish hearts. No, I don't think Martin's that good. And I think Josh Taylor's a little bit fresher than the version of Burns that got in the ring that night against Terence Crawford. I fancy Taylor. I fancy him on points, not by stoppage. And unless there's a couple of things in Ryan Martin that I've missed about Ryan Martin, I think that Josh Taylor overcomes this unbeaten American because the record's not great. You know, to be perfectly honest, there's a lot of wins on there, but you've not got six or seven guys that you're picking out and go, "Whoa, that was a good win. That was a good win." So I fancy Taylor. I fancy him on points. I don't know if he can get to him late. Maybe he can, but I fancy Taylor on points.
Yeah, 2-1 Taylor on points. It's 8-15 for him to stop him. So you're getting the kind of the right side of that in terms of the price. So, you know, 2-1 shot on a 1-12, you know, outright price isn't bad at all. There's individual round betting on there. There's grouped round betting if you do fancy him to stop him. There's quite a lot of prices around on that fight. So make sure you check it out. WilliamHill.com or on the app. Just a quick mention as well, Buncey, for your article in the Independent about Josh Taylor comparing his journey to Fred Evans. I won't go into any more. It's well worth just reading it, because it's one that I'd completely missed. You know, it's just great, unbelievable story. You know, and it's such a shame for Fred Evans. But
I'd missed it too until I was on Sunday afternoon. I was looking at what I was going to write, and I was thinking I'd do something on Fred Evans, and then I thought. I looked at his age and I thought, is he the same age as Taylor? Then, of course, and I thought, they're in the Olympic team together. They're at the World Championships together, the Europeans together. And I thought, bloody hell, excuse my French. This is a story of two people, one of whom was up here, one of whom was down there. Now it's completely the other way around. And we're in treacherous, murky areas. So I thought, this is a really good story, this. Yeah, I thought it was I thought it worked well. That's what a column is about, you see. That's what a column should be. It should have a little bit of something topical in it, or something that celebrates an anniversary. But what it really needs is a bit of a story that makes you go, that ain't bad.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just 600 words.
It's called good journalism, Bunce, isn't it? Good old-fashioned journalism, that. Remember that was a thing.
Yeah, you know what? I look at that column and I look at that piece there and I think, yeah, that's good, that. Yeah. You know, that's a good... If I'm a boxing fan, I'm reading that.
Yeah.
20 years ago, if someone's writing that, I'm reading it. You know, that's a proper boxing column, even if I say so myself.
You've got on your Bunsen. You got. Let's finish off with Ryan Burnett versus Nonito Donaire for the WBA Super Bantamweight title and the WBC Diamond Bantamweight title. there's two belts up for grabs anyway. I'm not even sure what each of them are. Ryan Burnett, 19-0, 9 stoppages in his career. The Belfast fighter. Obviously, making waves, of course, as he moves through his career. Even at this age, 26 year old, he is fighting Nonito Donaire. Obviously, his record reads 38-5. 35 years old, the Filipino Flash. It wasn't long ago, Buncey. He was the real deal, wasn't he? And he was what people were talking about. Obviously last seen fighting Carl Frampton, lost on a unanimous decision, well beaten over the 12 rounds.
He was well beaten, yeah.
He's got some names on his record.
Yeah, Carl's too big for him, Lee.
Yeah.
What he's done here is he's dropped down from feather back to bantam, and he hasn't been a bantamweight for 7 years, 15 fights since he was a bantam. And that slightly worries me, because against Frampton, he knew enough not to get hurt, but he knew enough not to take any silly risks and get hurt. Frampton was just that much physically stronger and bigger on the night. I think Nanita Dineer has been a great fighter.
Yeah.
If you talk about names on his record, might have lost one or two of them, but boy, oh boy.
Rigondeaux's down there, isn't he? You know,
ten years of top level fighters.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. The prices, again, I mean, you know, I think Ryan Burnett's a favourite here, but 1-7, you know, against, you know, Nanita Dineer. I don't know, he's on the down trajectory of his career, but 9-2 for Nanita Dineer. There's round betting here, there's group round betting method of result. It looks like a distance fight, Buncey, doesn't it?
Oh, it looks like a distance fight, absolutely does, because if you look at Burnett, okay, he's on a good run. He's stopped 9 of his 19, but he hasn't stopped anybody in his last 8. They've all gone the distance, including 4 of his last 5 have been 12-rounders. Now, Nanita Dineer's got a good chin. Sure, he got hurt by Nicholas Waters, but Nicholas Waters was a monster. He was a featherweight. He was a middleweight dressed up as a featherweight. Mm. He was a giant, Nicholas Waters, the Jamaican. And at that point, there was a suggestion that Nicholas Waters would beat anybody. Of course, he ended up getting brutally exposed and beaten. But the bottom line is, at that point, he was great, and he took Dineer apart. Other than that, Dineer doesn't get taken apart. He might get dropped, he might get hurt, but he doesn't get taken apart. He's good, he's solid. If the weight reduction process has really cost him, stripping down from 118 pounds, 8 pounds lighter than 126, where he was when he fought Frampton, I don't think this is an easy fight for Burnett. I really don't. As I say, Lee, he hasn't stopped anybody in 8 fights. So before he went on that 8 fight sequence, by my calculation, he was 11 fights with 9 stoppages. Now, that's a puncher.
Mm.
When you change that to 19 fights with 9 stoppages, that's not necessarily a puncher.
No.
That's a guy that once he's adjusted and moved through the losers and guys he's easily going to beat to competitive level, i.e. British title fights, eliminators for world titles, world title fights, he's having to go 12. I can't see there's any difference in Scotland in this World Boxing Super Series quarter. I think Burnett wins on points because he's busier. I would be stunned if he stops Dineer. And if he does stop Dineer, it's because Dineer's dropped down too much and he's just passed it. I don't think he's passed it. I think this is a really tricky and complicated fight. He caught Frampton with some good shots because he can bang a little bit of his right hand. I think this is a really interesting fight. I think Burnett wins on points, but I think there might be a couple of scares even.
Mm, yeah, 8-13 he's in to win on points, so it's not...
Not the end of the world.
No, it's not the... 8-13 always feels like a kind of an odds-on price that you can kind of live with. If you pair that up with the 2-1 on Taylor by decision, and then you're getting a double there that's just under 4-1, Buncey, for two fights. Yeah, decision. I can see that landing, to be fair. Josh Taylor by decision, 2-1. Ryan Burnett by decision, 8-13. I think you know, just a smidgeon under 4-1. That's decent.
It's not bad at all.
If you add any other prices to that, if you put together a treble or bigger on the William Hill website or the app, you get a bet boost as well. So you'll get a little black and white button there that you press, and it'll boost the price up. So just chuck another one in there. You might want to just chuck in a 1-12. What was the we were talking about the other fight, weren't we? Around 1-12. I mean, it's a very short price, but if you're confident it'll land on Zach Parker, you can chuck that in the mix and boost them up, and you'll probably get about 5-1 for that in the end. So, Buncey, thanks very much for your time. Thanks for the stories. It's been a pleasure as usual, and we'll speak to you ahead of Bellew. Looking forward to that one.
Hey, you know what? Last night at that, just a final thought, last night at that Hagler thing, obviously people are asking me about Hagler. Well, not really. They're talking about Hagler a little bit. They're asking a little bit about Wilder and Fury, but it was all about Bellew and Usyk next week. If 200 people asked me a question, I swear 180 of the questions were about Bellew. And I was thinking, you know what? You've got to love Tony. As he says, I'm just a fat boy from Liverpool. Oh, you've got to love him, man. Oh, you've got to love him.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.